Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there! Welcome to Big Blend Radio with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazine.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Big Blend Radio. This is a special Toast to Women in Music show today.
Yay.
And we are airing live from Silver Spring, Maryland. It is beautiful. We've had some rain. The mockingbirds are out singing because, you know, we've got lady mockingbirds here.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. We've got two cool dogs we're taking care of, and you may hear them say hi during the show because they always get excited. But yeah, we're your hosts, Nancy and Lisa, you know, the crazy mother-daughter travel team and publishers of Big Blend Magazine, and full-time travelers on the Love Your Parks tour. And you can check it all out at blendradioandtv.com and also at nationalparktraveling.com. Speaking of national parks, that's what we do. We go and check out parks across the country. But we've got to thank our sponsor for today's show, which is the National Park Arts Foundation. We interview artists every first Friday with them, focusing on their residency that they do through the National Parks Arts Foundation. If you're an artist, a musician, a dancer, a poet, check out nationalparksartsfoundation.org. Whatever you create, check it out. It's open to all artists of all mediums and genres, and their residencies are a full month in unique parks across the country, everywhere from Chaco Canyon and northern New Mexico to Dry Tortugas, where you're on your own private island in the Florida Keys.
I mean,
to
cool.
Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. Hawaii Volcanoes National Park, you have your own recording studio and a big house overlooking the ocean. Like, seriously. Dude, we should
awesome.
Do it, man. We need to go to Big
Blend
Radio then. Yeah. So
ooh, cool.
Everyone, nationalparksartsfoundation.org, and take a listen to our first Friday shows with them. And you can go to bigblendradio.com for that. But today's show is super exciting. I mean, talk about awesome women who can sing. My gosh, I thought I could sing, but like now I'm like, I'm just going to listen to
you
these two.
You can sing. You just
no, not until you hear these ladies. Then you're like, holy cow. We've got Mary Fall joining us. She is incredible, mind-blowing.
Well, she can sing.
One of the most beautiful voices I've ever heard. Her new album, her solo album's coming out. It's called Can't Get It Out of My Head. And she's really got it. And I love the title of it, the title track. We're going to play it. But it's like, it really goes into what she's done is covering all these songs that are from her past and her, you know, the songs that just you can't get out of your head, right? And so we're going to bring her on the show, talk, and play some of the songs from the album. A lot of you also may know her from her previous work in October Project. So I will talk a little bit about that too. We also have Linda Gail Lewis, and she's got a new album coming out on July 15th. It's called Early Sides, 1963-1973. She is a rockabilly legend, and she's also the sister of Jerry Lee Lewis, and they've got some duets they've done together. In fact, their careers really go back and forth. They've been supporting each other for years.
Cool.
It's going to be cool to chat with her then and now. And her album's coming out through Cleopatra Records, which I just love what they're doing at Cleopatra. I really do. They have like just, you know, they're carrying the torch for that kind of music and blues and just heavy metal, you name it. They're doing a good job over there. But all right, I think we got to play some music and get started. So, Nancy, are you ready to hear Can't Get You Out of My Head?
Absolutely.
You got to listen, everybody. Mary will be on the show in a second, but you can go to her website, maryfall.com. That's F-A-H-L. But here it is. Can't get you out of my – oh, my gosh. Can't get it out of my head. I've, like, got into my whole other – like, I have my own songs going on in my head. Here it is.
I saw
the ocean's daughter. Walking on the waves she came, staring as she called my name, and I can't get it out of my head, no I can't get it out of my head, now my whole world is gone for dead, cause I can't get it out of my head.
From Silver Spring, Maryland, and of course we're your hosts, Nancy and Lisa. Nancy the mom, me the daughter, Lisa. You just heard Can't Get It Out of My Head, and here's the deal. We're so lucky with what we do, Nancy and I, because we get to have the album, listen to them, know that, oh yeah, we definitely want to bring these people on a show. But let me tell you, once you get the album, Can't Get It Out of My Head, you will never get it out of your head. It is so awesome. This is an album out by, it's a solo, new solo album by award-winning singer-songwriter Mary Fall. And I encourage you to go to her website, maryfall.com. And super excited because she's really taking all these amazing songs that really connected with her over the years and singing them so beautifully. And welcome to the show, Mary. How are you?
Oh, nice to be here, ladies. And I love it when you talk about national parks. So I'm in.
Oh, cool.
Oh, cool.
National parks and dogs. I'm in.
Yes.
Oh, there
yes.
you go.
Hey, listen, Hamish was sitting up and, like, wanting to get on my lap during Can't Get It out of my head. And I'm like, he's ready. He's like, I love you. And
he's
I'm like, I love you,
dog.
Too. You know, but this is so cool to have you on the show. And happy birthday, by the way. I know you just
mm-hmm.
celebrated
Thank
a birthday.
You.
And that means
I
you
did.
Get to do
Thank
the whole
you.
Month, right? So the month of July is for Mary. So everybody needs to go get the new album. So maryfall.com is the place to go. But, you know, I was on your Facebook page today, and I was cracking up. You were out on 4th of July going out and getting a hot dog. You're like, this is your annual hot dog. Like, seriously.
I do not allow
once a
myself
year.
To – once a year, that's it. I don't allow myself to have – you know, that kind of stuff. I'm not a vegetarian, but I just, you know, hot dogs. Come on.
Right.
We all know.
Yeah, we all know.
But,
yeah.
But, you know, to me, that is sort of my childhood and July 4th and a hot dog with tons of mustard. And we have this great side of the road place that I love. And my husband and I go for bike rides, and then we'll just take the bikes over there and we'll just, why don't we just have a little ice cream cone or something? Ooh. Although I can't eat ice cream either, but he has one. And but anyway, that's America to me. That's like sort of, you know, rural America, which is where I live. And it's still, there's something very innocent about it. So I had my hot dog and I loved it. I'm in the great state of Pennsylvania.
Cool.
And I'm right across, we live on a sort of hill mountain kind of thing. When I look out my window at below, I see the beautiful, very serene Delaware River.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. We just drove through Pennsylvania and we're going there next. We'll be back up in a place near Tunkhannock.
Tunkhannock?
Apparently, it's not just Scranton, it's Scranton. No, but Pennsylvania, we love your state. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And, you know, right now we're in Maryland, so we were driving from Arkansas. No, Kansas City, and came out here. But listen, this album, Can't Get It Out of My Head, I think it's like the perfect title and the perfect title track and the perfect song for this. Tell us a little bit about going back, because I know a lot of people know you from October Project. Now you're in your solo. You've got like a catalog. Like, you really do. I'm like, wow.
Yeah. And you know, I'm very eclectic, and that's just, it is, I am who I am, you know. And
good.
So I was with October Project. We were a band in the 90s. We got to tour with Sarah McLachlan and people like that. Oh, and we were on Epic. We made two records on Epic, and I think that those records stand the test of time. And then we were dropped as sort of, that's a rite of passage for many artists. You get dropped eventually, and we did. And so I parted ways with them. They've gone on to do other things since then. And then I ended up, after 2 years of working extremely hard and learning how to be a writer, which was very, very challenging, very scary, I got to tell you. I got a deal with, of all places, Sony Classical. I went up and auditioned for them a week after 9/11.
Cool.
And they asked me to sing classical music. And I tried to explain to them that I was not Renee Fleming. I'm not trained. I'm not any. I just sing like me. And they said, well, we want you to do it anyway. So I love opera. So I sang an aria for them. And I sang a song from medieval Spain, and I sang a couple of the songs I had written, and I got signed, which was, I didn't expect it. And then I wrote for some movies. I wrote for a film called Gods and Generals, which was a film about the Civil War, and I wrote the theme song for that. And
cool.
And I wrote I wrote a song for a film called The Guys and things like that. And then, then Sony Classical fell apart and they were taken over by another company. And so I moved on. Then I got a deal with V2 Records. It's like, you cry a little bit, you regroup and you get back out and do it again. And then I did, I did Dark Side of the Moon. I did my
That's
female
epic.
Version
Honestly.
Of Dark Side of the Moon. And we were lucky enough to have Bob Clearmountain do this amazing surround mix. And this year, all these years later, we thought it was that surround mix, which was legendary, had been lost in a fire. And you know, we were all shut down for, as we all know, for a long time. And in his copious spare time, my producer found the long-lost copy of that surround mix. We had it remastered
cool.
and released it, and it won Immersive Album of the Year. And I am – that was, you know, so many years later was really something for me. It's my career trajectory has been very interesting and all over the place, but I'm still at it because I this is what I live for. This is why I'm alive, other than also taking good care of my husband.
And you, and taking care of your health, obviously, by your choices of eating, because today is National Spam Day. Not National Spam Day, but spam was introduced in the world on this date or whatever. And I'm like, you're going hot dogs. I'm going, what about spam? No, but I mean, listening to your music, your tone of voice is just, you know, there's earthy, yet just thinking about the arias and everything, it's like you don't hear your tone in women in music that often. And I think that's what's so great about you and Linda Givens on there.
Why do you think that is? Why do I find it so interesting that the tone of women, when I grew up, I had an older sister, her name was Joan, and Joan was much, much older than me. She was a teenager when I was a very little girl, and I would go up into her room and listen to her albums, and all of those women, I mean, I grew up singing along with those records in my sister's room, and that was Petula Clark. Huge influence on me. One of the greatest singers ever. She would nail a take every single time. Great pop singer. And Dusty Springfield, The Supremes, even a little Nina Simone. And all of these women had these, they weren't these scratchy, light kind of, everybody sings like that now. Every commercial, everybody
farmers.
Is like,
it's a farmer girl voice. And
farmer girl voice.
But there's no offense to farmer girls, because we really support our farmers, but especially small farms. But there's something weird now with singing.
Adele is a great singer, so she does not she does not fall into this category, and that's why I think she's so beloved. But other than that, it's just sort of this it's an anti-voice almost, and I loved Sarah Vaughan as I got older, and I love a deep, rich Anita Baker. I love her. Just a rich, dark voice has always been. Annie
it's
Lennox,
like a really good
person.
Red wine. I always compare music to wine.
Exactly.
It's two things.
It's
two things. It is taking your time, not rushing through the song, and there's this deepness to it, not the shrillness, the baby girl voice, that kind of thing. This is like you're singing who you are in your own space at your own time, the way you want to do it. That's the difference.
Well, there's emotion and dynamic, but it's not over emotional. That's what I love. It's like, when you listen to your singing, going through this album today, I'm like, this is just so cool, because you're listening to songs you know. And you go like, okay, how, you know, you're always curious about people, you know, taking a song that we all know and how are they going to do it? And, you know, to me, it's amazing because it's like a deep personal connection to these songs. Like you can hear it, that these are songs you really, really, really know. But it's like you are saying, here's my personal connection. And I don't even know if there's a way to put that in words when someone is that connected to a song. But you could hear, like, this is, like, it's like being in your soul to feel and hear. And there's an incredible dynamic. And also, I find that your voice has a huge respect in all music, a huge respect to the music, the words, the dynamic, the how it's supposed to be. There's you have a lot of respect in how you, the art and the craft. That's why I think you carry a lot of respect.
These are great songs. So these are the songs that I had to make this record because I was I was in a bad place emotionally. I had lost my sister and my mother in the same year. One from old age, one from a terrible progressive ALS, which was I wouldn't wish that on anyone. And so I was feeling those were the two most important women in my life, and I felt rootless after that. Like where is my home? I mean, I have my husband, but that was my you know, I was very close to my mother and my sister. So I felt like I needed to immerse myself in a place that musically that was like home. Old friends. These songs are old friends to me. Can't get it out of my head. Ugh. I can tell you the moment I heard that song for the first time, and it was an awful time of in high school. My mother forced me to go to a Catholic high school where I knew no one, nobody. And I remember walking into that cafeteria with my tray, and it was like, oh, where am I going to sit? This is just a nightmare. But that song would come on. I love, it's the 70s. I was an ELO girl. I love them. ELO. And
they will never die. ELO will live forever.
They will never die to me.
Damn it.
And that song always had the power to transport me, you know, and I wish I could go back to that 14, 15 year old girl and say, someday, honey, you'll record this. It'll be okay. Mm-hmm. But it's still, when I fall in love with a song, it's forever. And there's also, you know, the Neil Young. I could have done any one of a number. I bought a lot of these records.
That was
not
cool.
The ELO, but some of the other ones from, remember when Columbia House, if you paid a dollar, they would send you 10 or 12 records? Do you remember?
Yes.
So I did that. I didn't tell my parents, but I did that. And then I got these records and one of them was The Best of Judy Collins, and another one was there were two Neil Young records. And those Neil Young records, I started to learn to play guitar with them. And I mean, when you do that, that's a visceral experience. And I would go and lock myself in I grew up in a very big family. That I love the acoustics in our upstairs bathroom. So I would lock myself in and I would play in there. And I begged my parents for a little reel to reel recorder so I could record myself. And it's so funny because you'd always on these reel to reels, you hear my brothers banging on the door, get out of there. And, but that was,
I'm just love that you did Neil Young because I want people to understand. Like you say, your career is like here, there, and that's music, and the art is not supposed to be in a box. Screw that. But this album is so cool. I mean, you have like Don't Let It Bring You Down. I mean, that is a song like it's an interesting choice. Like you did. And we're going to play Tuesday Afternoon from the Moody Blues. And then you've got Ruby Tuesday, the Stones. You've got George Harrison, Beware of Darkness. And I wonder about how many people remember
great
that
song.
That song is so
– that.
I wonder
God.
If it
that
drove
song,
him to the garden. You know?
Oh, I don't know. But it's when you think about George and what a lovely human he was, those words in anybody else's hands would sound kind of preachy. But George really, he was authentic. He really lived that. Mm-hmm. And the lyrics, I mean, that whole, All Things Must Pass was a record that has lived inside me for so many years. And I mean, forever. And Beware of Darkness, boy, have the lyrics of that song gone into me. It was like a wise old uncle's advice. At so many times of my life, from teenager to in college to later, it's like, it's just, it's a wise, wise song. The other thing about all these songs is that many of them are they're still timely. They transcend the period that they were first released in. And I wanted to honor them, you know, the songs as they were, but you also, when you do a cover, you don't do it unless you make it your own.
Right.
Absolutely have to make it your own.
It's really interesting how you even put it together because it's, you know, it's like, okay, these are songs that are personal, you connected to, and at the same time, it's like, it is, I mean, it just shows how open you are to different genres and styles, and which I love. I mean, the Mambas and Papas, Nick Drake, you know, Nick Drake. I'm like, no. And it just, you know, the great Valerio at the end. I'm like, what? And so when you put that together, it's like coming up with, here's a set list of everything being completely different, yet they do have a thread. Number one, you're singing them all, so that is the flow, too. But it's they do seem to have, and I can't explain it, but they seem to have some kind of something that connect them all to make a record work and flow with this awesome, I call it a set list, because a track list is like a permanent set list.
Yeah. Well, I also have to give, a lot of attention and respect to my producer, Mark Doyle, because he wasn't just the producer and arranger. And I can so be myself with him, and I don't put 2 cents in. I put in like $100 worth of my opinion on everything. And we huddle and work together, and tiny nuance is hammered out. But he played every instrument on this record.
Wow.
Except for the violins and some of the drumming. That's all Mark. He is how they call those great studio guys cats? He is the cat of all cats. And I sometimes forget he plays it right and in the pocket the first time, every time. And it's just you just begin to take it for granted that Mark can do that. He could do anything. He'll just do it right the first time. And so we made it in his studio in his house in Syracuse, New York. A city that is very close to my heart, and I would drive up from where I live in Pennsylvania, and we would just hammer this out. And these songs had to be special for him too. They had to be songs that he loved. And the only one that he wasn't aware of was the great Valerio. And he's like, I think because it's Richard Thompson's guitar playing. I mean, Linda Thompson's phenomenal voice, of course, as well. But it's that style he had. And I said, we can't go there. We have to take it in another direction. Mm-hmm. And he did. And boy, did he deliver. He's as good a guitar player as he was always known as a guitar player, but he's as good a pianist and bass player. You begin to take it for granted, but he's just amazing. So I just have to give my respect to him for that. And
you should. I mean, the whole album. I mean, you guys working on it together and not having 20 musicians involved, right? I mean, he's done so much.
Well, some of this was also lockdown oriented. So there were studios we wouldn't even be able to get into. So, it just kind of worked out. And I think it got us both through such a challenging time just in the world and for me personally. And, Mark had personal challenges in his family life as well. So this got us through a really bad time. And that's what art is supposed to do, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to uplift you and take you out of things. Yeah.
Let's play Tuesday afternoon because I want to hear. I want people to hear this. I mean, how you guys? I was like, no way. And I've obviously read all the press and everything about it, and going, okay, these are these two people going and making this album. Like, how the hell did they pull off the Moody Blues? And then I have to think back to Tuesday afternoon. I have the album where it's a live recording, so I'm kind of got that stuck in me. And I used to drive through. Okay, I'm weird. This is really weird.
Uh-oh.
So back in the day when we were Southwest Blend, back in the day when we had print magazines, and we're talking over 20 years ago, and we lived out in Joshua Tree, and I remember I'd go, watch distribution, get it out there, do this, do that, run around, see clients, and I'd drive from San Diego, and I'd go through Anzabrego Desert State Park, and then into Joshua Tree Home. So I went through all these different desert ecosystems. And for some reason, this song would be part of, in the Moody Blues, it's weird to listen to them in the desert, but I did at night. There's something just, knights in white satin through the desert,
Because it's haunting.
Yeah, there's something but then I had all my Indian and my Native American, I should say, music and Spanish music. So I would change it. Like, there were certain parts, like, okay, the British invasion happened here in the desert, and then this is the Indian part of the desert, and this is, like, okay, our Spanish and Mexican. It's crazy, but it just had these vibes. And so Tuesday afternoon just has a very special meaning to me, too, and I want to play it. And it's Tuesday afternoon, everybody, so what the hell? Let's play it. And I want you to hear just, like, how epic and how you guys did this, because it's, I was like, no way. You can I just say you're all badasses, man? I can say that.
Go ahead.
You're listening to Big Blend Radio with Nancy and Lisa, and that was Mary Fall singing Tuesday Afternoon by the Moody Blues.
Cool.
Epic, epic version, and it is on her new solo album, Can't Get It Out of My Head. So go to maryfahl.com. That's F-A-H-L. Mary, when is this coming out so people can get it?
Okay, so later tonight, my website is live now, but definitely pre-sales go on later tonight on my website, Maryfahl, F-A-H-L, maryfahl.com. But the actual album is released on July 22nd, and I've got it in not just audio CD, regular old CD, but I also have a release that's a deluxe version that if you like 5.1 surround audio, if you have Blu-ray and all of that audio technology, there is an amazing Blu-ray surround mix that was mixed by the great Ronald Prent that is so mind-blowing. It's once you hear it in surround on Blu-ray, there's no going back. So I myself am actually investing in an entire sort of surround system for my house, and so I can hear it that way. But I want to also say just something really quick. I know you ladies have to move on, but on that cut, I really had to do something with that bridge. I'm looking at myself, and I thought, I've got to kick this up a notch. And I was thinking, I need a chant, something that. So I lowered my voice as low as it could go, as like all that those things that sound like men. That's me. and then I doubled, tripled, quadrupled my voice. And what's really cool, I like doing Sanskrit chants. And this is, and I thought, let me look up what the mantra is for the Lord of Tuesday in Vedic astrology, because Mars is the Lord of Tuesday, so he rules it. So that Mars mantra is Om Krum Krim Krum Saba Maya Nama Om, and that's what I thought. Well, what the hell? I might as well honor Tuesday on Tuesday afternoon, and it worked. I love it.
That's
I love
perfect.
It when things like that happen.
Well,
yes,
I love
yes.
it. I love what you did with it because it just has that. You took it to another plane, you know, literally, huh?
Yeah.
But it is awesome. So, you know, you go back into, you know, Vedic scriptures and things like. Do you practice Ayurveda at all? Because it just kind of, since you had a hot dog once a year, I have to ask.
Well, that was not very Ayurvedic of me. No, I don't, not Ayurveda, but I certainly, my husband and I are very into alternative health and keeping ourselves. We take so many vitamins that we have to have an extra suitcase when we go on the road. I never thought I'd meet someone who took more vitamins than I did. And we eat extremely clean. Our normal diet is so good, just organic meats and fish. I'm not a vegetarian, but meats and fish and chicken and just organic green vegetables. We have our own garden. We grow we grow our own vegetables when we can, you know, in this season. And that's how we
do. Do you think it helps your voice? Because, you know, I just know that I think what we put in our bodies as singers, it can affect you. Like even like if you eat cheese, that could create like a thing you don't want to happen to your voice. You know what I mean? So it's
sure. I mean, I can't live without goat cheese. So that's just,
I'm with you.
That's non-negotiable in my work. But anyway, but yeah, of course everything affects you and, you know, keep exercising, all of that kind of stuff. When I really started exercising and lifting weights and things like that, my voice improved it was a massive improvement. There was just no doubt about it. It got deeper and richer. And so, yeah, I mean, and just, you know, as we're getting older, you have to really work hard at staying extremely healthy. So, and I, you know, I love my husband. I want to keep him alive for a long time. So there's that.
Yeah.
So are we getting to the end of the show? Because before we do, I really want to tell people again about my website and that it'll be available for pre-sale. But also, I think we should end, because it is a show about women artists, that two of the songs on this record, Since You've Asked, is a magnificent Judy Collins song. And she wrote it and she sang it. And then the other one is, she didn't write it, but my God, I wouldn't sing the way I sing if it weren't for Linda Thompson.
Oh.
She just such a huge, you know, those early Richard and Linda Thompson records. That's when I started to develop my own taste in music. Linda Thompson, Sandy Denny. I wouldn't sing the way I sing if it weren't for Sandy. And they just had, there was something, I don't know if it's just sort of the Celtic blood we have in it. I don't know what it is, but boy, did I resonate with them. And so you pick one.
Yeah,
either
let's
one
do
would
Cindy
be the
Bass.
One I'd
I
go
also
out
put
with.
That up there because I wanted a woman in there too because it's a Toast to Women show. So let's do Judy Collins because, I mean, it's like, come on, we got to keep her torch going. You know, that's the other thing.
Oh, my
thing.
God. And the other thing is she's like my spirit. I know you're not supposed to say spirit animal anymore, but she is. I don't know. Everything, you never know what's in or
I
out
know.
These days. But it's like, oh, my God. And I just step on the but she is. I
do
just,
what you want.
She's an idol to me. When I was a little girl, really little girl, my oldest brother was the folkie in the house, and he had all of those early folk records that she did. And when I grew up, I wanted to be Judy Collins, probably why I'm so eclectic now, because she was very eclectic. And and just those records that she made stand the test of time.
It's so true.
And that, I think, is the true measure of an artist. And she's still going strong. She's still as creative as ever. She has an enormous amount of energy. I love her. I worship her. I think she's phenomenal. So, yeah, let's go out with – but what I did do, I changed the time signature on this song. So it's not like the original. Have to make it your own.
You know, the thing, too, before you go on that is you've also put the Mamas and Papas on there. So we got some more women in there. You can't leave them out, right?
The Mamas and the Papas. When my older sister brought that first record home, and I heard that she put it on, that was a moment that is emblazoned in my ears because it knocked me on my ass. And I, as a little kid, I was 8 or 9 years old, and I always say I used to look at the album cover. You know, the way you would hold it in your hands and look, and I used to stare at it and say, when I grow up, I really, really would like to sing like Mama Cass, because, you know, she had that big swagger.
Awesome.
Cass just was awesome.
Awesome.
But then I'd look at Michelle and think, but boy, oh boy, I'd really like to look like the other one. You know, Michelle was so beautiful. I mean, just stunningly beautiful.
She still is.
She still is. And it was also the harmony. And it's funny that I ended up being in a band with you know, two guys and two girls, and that we always sang harmony all the time. It's sort of like I looked at those records and then I manifested October Project somehow later in my life. Very funny how things work out, isn't it?
It isn't it? But it's all supposed to be, man. It's the way the world works. So everyone, the album is coming out July 22nd. You can pre-order it. Watch on the website. Go to MaryFall.com.
And it'll be on iTunes and Amazon and all those. And I'm touring. So go to my site, look at my tour dates. I'm going all over the place.
You're going to Colorado, Parker, Colorado. I saw that. Like, you've got the East going, New York, Massachusetts, and everything. And then I'll be Colorado. And she's like going, Bip, I'm going there. Like, Colorado rocks, man. And, you know, is there a place that you would like to perform that you have not performed in?
Oh, my God. Well, I will admit to you that sometimes I love all the venues that Dead Can Dance perform in, and they just perform these amazing spaces in Greece and Turkey and just these ancient places. That would be good. But I would love to perform at the Alhambra in Granada, Spain.
Yeah.
That's where
I'd
like to
perform.
Well,
maybe it'll happen. You got to play the Great Valerio when you go there.
I know.
You got to do that. Well, here it is. We're going to close off with Cindy Vass by Judy Collins, but you're going to hear Mary Fall perform it. Again, her album is coming out July 22nd. Go to our website, maryfall.com, and the album, again, is Can't Get It Out of My Head. And we want to thank the National Parks Arts Foundation for sponsoring this segment. Stay tuned because we've got Linda Gail Lewis joining us next. But here it is, since you've asked. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. This has been a real pleasure. Thank you.
You take care. Here it is, everyone. Since you've asked.
And